If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With less than 2 days left in office, President Trump yesterday issued several executive orders, and you can tell he's getting desperate because in one of them, he just wished for infinite wishes.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth chats with MSNBC's Rachel Maddow. But first, a closer look.
Today was Donald Trump's last full day as president of the United States, and he spent it stewing in private, mulling pardons for well-connected allies, and releasing a meaningless lie-filled farewell message. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. Today, Trump released a pre-taped farewell message filled, as usual, with the soaring oratory he's known for.
My fellow
If you don't get to do that, you don't want to do any of the hard parts of leaving, like gracefully admitting you lost and attending your successor's inauguration, but you want us to watch your lie-filled 20-minute farewell speech, which I am certain you're reading for the first time, like a tourist reading a menu in a foreign language.
I'll have that. Oh, boy. How do you say this? Oh, man. Hamburger?
Although I will briefly touch on the overarching message because of how absurd it is.
4 years ago, we launched a great national effort to rebuild our country, to renew its spirit, and to restore the allegiance of this government to its citizens. We did what we came here to do. And so much more.
And yet, sadly, my presidency ends 1 week before Infrastructure Week.
Are you insane? You left the nation in ruins. What did you come here to do? Wreck the economy, spread disease, and take selfies with cans of beans where you smile like you just ate ice cream with a cavity? This time, 4 years ago, virtually the entire federal government was being mobilized in service of an incredibly stupid lie, Trump's insistence that his inauguration crowd was the largest ever, even though we could all see that it had more white space than the back of a Hallmark card. Sean Spicer was screaming from the podium in a giant suit cut from the sail of a mighty clipper ship. Trump was whining in front of the CIA memorial wall. Kellyanne Conway was trying to Jedi mind trick Chuck Todd into accepting alternate facts. And that episode ended up being a telling preamble to the rest of Trump's 4 years. It's not just that Trump inhabits an unhinged fantasy world, which he does, or that he and his aides lie as easily as they breathe, which they do. It's that the entire federal bureaucracy was dragged into defending a narcissistic president's delusion, and anyone who refused to support the lie was punished.
Newly released documents obtained by The Guardian reveal a government photographer intentionally cropped the images to remove spaces and in turn make the crowd look larger. The unnamed photographer says that he tampered with the photos from the president's inauguration in 2017 after receiving multiple calls from the White House, including one from the president on his first full day in office.
The president here reportedly asking for additional pictures of the inauguration. He was obviously concerned about the crowd size of the inauguration. The request appeared to have trickled down to other members, other staffers at the Park Service. One unnamed official telling investigators with the Inspector General's office that she got the impression that the president wanted to see pictures that appeared to depict more spectators in the crowd.
That's right. Trump bullied the National Park Service. First of all, if you're going to make the National Park Service edit photographs, at least make it something fun like Old Faithful spewing lava or a moose with Angelina Jolie's eyes. Good-looking moose! And as we've learned over the last 4 years, if you're willing to lie about inconsequential things like crowd size or a weather map, you're also willing to lie about far more important things like the coronavirus pandemic, which has now passed a grim new death toll of 400,000 on Trump's final day in office. Trump insisted that COVID would magically disappear, that it could be easily cured, and much like the inauguration lie, everyone around him from his closest aides to government scientists was ordered to fall in line or face consequences. And while some stood up to him, his closest sycophants decided to take part in the lie and deny reality.
You have 15 people, and the 15 within a couple of days is going to be down to close to zero. It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
We've actually contained the spread of this virus.
It is being contained. And do you not think it's being contained?
So far, it looks relatively contained. And we don't think most people, I mean, the vast majority of Americans are not at risk for this virus.
People don't die of this disease anymore.
I went through the CDC data because I kept hearing about new infections. But I was like, well, why aren't they talking about this? Oh, because the number is almost nothing.
Yo, you went through the CDC data? I have a hard time imagining Don Jr. staying up all night sifting through graphs and charts, although he does have the manic energy of a guy with a head mic selling timeshares in Boca Raton. I went through all the data, and you can vacation anytime you want for a fraction of the price, and plus, you'll be long dead before global warming sinks your condo like a castle in an aquarium. Woo! And then, of course, there were Trump's poisonous lies about the election indulged and echoed by the vast majority of the Republican Party and right-wing media apparatus, which led to the deadly insurrection at the Capitol. Anyone who has watched Trump for the last 4 years should not have been shocked. And today, Mitch McConnell, in his last day as Senate Majority Leader, finally laid the blame at Trump's feet.
The mob was fed lies. They were provoked by the president and other powerful people.
First of all, some of those powerful people are in your caucus. If you really mean what you're saying, then you can start by expelling them. Hawley can go back to starring in his Patrick Bateman miniseries, and Cruz can be remembered as Bigfoot Danny Zuko. Second, I'm glad you're finally coming around, but it's 4 years too late. You made your bargain with the devil to get your judges and tax cuts, and now, much like a Stephen King character who hits a drifter with your car and buries him in the wood, you will be cursed forever with a frog's voice. Well, for you, you know, obviously, it will have to be a different curse, but, you know, you get the idea.
Oh, tough break, drifter. Already got that.
So this is the legacy Trump will leave behind, one of insurrection, corruption, cruelty, and chaos. And as a result, he'll leave as the most unpopular president in modern American history. Now, when Trump entered office 4 years ago, he was already the most disliked incoming president in the history of polling. He lost the popular vote by 3 million. He never cracked 50% approval. And in a bit of foreshadowing, the stands at his inauguration were emptier than the D train at 3 a.m. during a pandemic. And yet, as he's preparing to leave office 4 years later, he's somehow even more unpopular than when he first started. The last Gallup poll of his presidency put his approval at 34%, and the last Pew poll put it at 29%, both the lowest numbers he's ever recorded in either one of those polls. Usually, presidents' approval ratings tick up when they leave, and yet Trump is leaving with the lowest ratings of his presidency and the lowest ratings to end any first term in the history of polling. But I found this number to be the most damning. 68% of Americans say Trump should not continue to be a major national political figure for many years to come. Not only do people hate him and want him out, but a full two-thirds of Americans want him gone forever. Basically, the entire country has turned into Trump's guidance counselor. Now, it says here you want a future in politics, but have you considered yelling at birds in the park? So Trump won't get a stately retirement filled with events and honors. He won't even get a quiet retirement. He'll have to deal with an impeachment trial in the Senate that could disqualify him from holding office ever again. His neighbors don't want him to move to Mar-a-Lago. New York City canceled all of its contracts with Trump. The DA in Atlanta is considering investigating Trump for his phone call to Georgia election officials. The Manhattan district attorney just subpoenaed more records in his investigation of Trump. And his advisors have warned him that he could face potential civil liability for his role in the insurrection. Trump is also spending the last few hours of his disastrous presidency weighing pardons for well-connected criminals, which has created a lucrative market for access to Trump and lined the pockets of his allies.
The New York Times reports that some of Trump's friends and advisors are collecting tens of thousands of dollars from people seeking pardons. Those who have access to the president, his longtime aides, as well as some former attorneys who have worked for him, have essentially been peddling their access to the president to try to bring in money from convicted felons who want a pardon. Associates of the president, allies, as well as attorneys who have worked for him in the past, have been collecting these lucrative fees from people trying to seek these pardons, involving, in at least in one case, a report to the FBI about allegations that Rudy Giuliani might have been trying to essentially sell a pardon for what the New York Times reports was a $2 million fee.
That's right. Rudy Giuliani reportedly tried to sell a pardon for $2 million. Even worse, he did it via bus stop ad. Honestly, though, that's the only thing that makes me even slightly suspicious of this story. Rudy didn't advertise. You'd think he'd be going door to door asking people if they committed a crime, or he'd be on Fox News selling pardons like it was QVC. Of course, this is how the Trump era ends, with the faux populist president mulling pardons for wealthy, well-connected allies. He's already used his pardon and clemency powers to help out accomplices and close friends like Roger Stone, Paul Manafort, Michael Flynn, and Jared Kushner's dad. In one of his most heinous acts, he pardoned four Blackwater mercenaries convicted of murdering innocent Iraqis. And yet, even with Trump considering up to 100 pardons, there's one guy in his inner circle who reportedly can't get a pardon, and he sounds a little peeved about it.
I do not need a pardon. I don't commit crimes. I do have a risk. I have a risk that these crooks will try to frame me, like they tried to frame Donald Trump. Try to frame me. Let's see what happens. I know you do it, and I know you've been trying to. I have not committed a crime. I am not getting a pardon. So stop reporting it, you bunch of liars. Is that clear? I just want to make sure it's clear, okay?
That was Rudy's radio show. Or at least I think it was. It could just as easily have been at the drive-thru at McDonald's.
I am not getting a pardon. So stop reporting it, you bunch of liars.
Okay, but I still need to know how many McNuggets.
1.5 billion?
So Rudy spent 5 years debasing himself in service of Trump, a man with no proven loyalty, who is reportedly considering a pardon of Lil Wayne, which I'm assuming cost a milli. And yet Rudy can't get a pardon. Rudy, I hate to even ask, but have you considered rapping? My name is Rudy, and I'm here to say, I totally forgot what I'm here to say. Honestly, there's a better chance at this point that Trump turns him in.
Hello, FBI. Yeah, I want to report a guy who incited a riot. Yeah, he's also one of those dead voters I've been hearing about. Just stay over there, Rudy. Have some tea.
In fact, Rudy, a loyal Trump ally who has stood by him through everything, can't get a pardon, and yet Trump is reportedly considering a pardon for a former ally who left his administration in disgrace and got arrested for trying to con Trump's own supporters.
CNN has learned the president was back in touch with his former strategist, Steve Bannon, discussing Trump's election conspiracy theories. Sources say Bannon, who's facing federal fraud charges, is seeking a pardon from Trump.
That's right. Bannon wants a pardon for, I'm guessing, bursting out of that dude's chest. And if you think Cuomo's too fringe a reference, take it up with Andy Samberg, who fully played him in a sketch. Chill, Quaid. You'll get your smint. So Bannon wants a pardon for scamming Trump's own supporters by raising money for a private border wall that allegedly skimmed about $1 million for his own personal expenses. In fact, if you'll recall, Bannon, the self-proclaimed populist, was arrested on a $35 million 150-foot yacht belonging to one of his business associates, a fugitive Chinese billionaire. Was he on the yacht, or did they find him getting dragged behind it? I mean, look at him. He looks like a waterlogged baked potato. He looks like Jimmy Buffett 2 weeks after he drowned. We found the body wasting away in Margaritaville. But we have to remember that even as disgraced and unpopular as Trump is today, there are still powerful forces in the Republican Party and the right-wing media ecosystem who will try to memory hole what happened these last 4 years. And they'll go to absurd, humiliating lengths to do it. Lindsey Graham said this weekend he wants Trump to keep his movement alive and remain the leader of the Republican Party. And then there's the Fox and Friends, who insisted today that despite Trump spending more time and taxpayer money at his private properties than any president in history, actually works super hard.
They'll criticize President Trump, but no one can argue he is a worker. You know, he doesn't drink alcohol. He stays up late at night. He watches every show. He's working. He got to work immediately.
Your evidence that he's a hard worker is that he watches every show? Is he the president or the editor of TV Guide? You sound like a spouse defending her deadbeat husband who refuses to look for work. Just because he's not updating his resume doesn't mean he's not working hard. He watches every show. Price is Right, Maury, all the soap operas, which counts as research because he's applying to be an evil twin. He just got the eye patch. The toxic right-wing media apparatus and most of the institutional Republican Party spent the last 4 years colluding with a monstrous and irredeemable man who has been thoroughly repudiated by the American electorate over and over and over again. He lost the popular vote in 2016, lost the House by a record margin in 2018, got impeached, lost the presidency by 7 million votes in 2020, lost the Senate in 2021, including two seats in a longtime red state, and then got impeached again. You know what? I take it back. Maybe he is a worker, because you have to work pretty hard to be this unpopular. If Trump had spent 4 years golfing, ranting about low-flush toilets and letting the experts do their job, there'd be a good chance he'd be setting off for a retirement of paid speeches and toilet endorsement deals.
Introducing the Super Flusher. This baby roars like a jet engine, and it sucks down anything you put in it. Number one, number two, subpoenas, tax returns, you name it. Here, let's give it a whirl. Oh, God. Oh, God. Mel? Mel? Did you get Oh! Oh, there you are, Mel. I'm right here, Donald. Oh, I was so worried, Mel. Worried sick. After all we've been through, if I lost you like that, Mel, oh, I couldn't have bared it. I mean, I would have remarried pretty quickly. Have my eye on a couple candidates. But I would have been sad, Mel. So sad. Not crying sad, but I wouldn't have smiled. Even though sucked down a toilet, it's a pretty funny way to go. You have to admit that, Mel. Now show me that million-dollar smile I've never seen once.
Instead, Trump will go down as history as a disgraced, sadistic con artist who left the nation in ruins. He's less popular than Bush. He's broken more laws than Nixon. He's got a worse jobs record than Hoover. And he leans like a house blown over in a storm that Jimmy Carter would have to fix. We're going to do our best, but the problem's in the foundation. See, we're going to be fine. I got a Carter. And as he leaves, he'll be remembered not for standing by the people he pretended he would help. Our economy is in tatters, hospitals are overrun, and the vaccine rollout is a disaster. He'll be remembered for standing by people like Charles Kushner, Paul Manafort, Steve Bannon, murderous Blackwater mercenaries, and the MyPillow guy, who, it should be noted, is now facing a possible lawsuit for his election lies and whose products are being dropped by major retailers.
Lindell has repeatedly claimed the 2020 election was a fraud. Last week, he was seen leaving the White House with some notes and documents with all kinds of conspiracies along those lines. Dominion Voting Systems has also sent a cease and desist letter to Lindell over his spread of lies related to the election.
MyPillow products will no longer be sold by some big-name retailers. MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell says that several companies are dropping his products because he is a supporter of President Trump. Bed Bath & Beyond, Kohl's, and Wayfair are among the companies that have cut ties with Lindell.
He was too beyond for Bed Bath & Beyond. That's like when Rudy found out he was too nuts for Chock Full of Nuts. Hey-o! You get it. Shoemaker likes it. And yet the president repeatedly invited him into the White House anyway to share his deranged election lies and scam coronavirus cures. And by the way, even in the face of a lawsuit and lost business, Lindell still can't offer any proof for his conspiracy theories. For example, in an email to NBC News, Lindell said, all the evidence against Dominion is before the Supreme Court. China and others use the machines to corrupt our election. Here's one page of the proof. The email did not include an attachment. When asked if he had mistakenly omitted it, Lindell sent another email with an empty attachment and a third with screenshots of a legible text. We've all pulled that move when you're behind on a work project and your boss wants to see a draft, so you pretend your email isn't working. Here it is. That's weird. The attachment didn't go through. Can you try again? Sure, look at this. That's just a picture of your thumb. Oh, no, my laptop. I must have flushed it down the toilet. Mel? Oh, there you are. The Trump presidency may be drawing to a close, but the dysfunction, the corruption, the authoritarianism, and the moral rot Trump exposed within the GOP and in our system will remain, and we can't just let it go. We got to fix it. We have to hold accountable the people responsible for it from the top all the way down. Otherwise, this four-year-long nightmare we've all lived through could very well happen again. And as for Trump, when historians count his accomplishments, they'll find that
the number is almost nothing.
This has been A Closer Look.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Our guest tonight is a best-selling author and the Emmy-winning host of The Rachel Maddow Show, which airs weeknights at 9 on MSNBC. Please welcome back to the show our friend, Rachel Maddow. How are you, Rachel?
I am, you know, inaugural-ish.
Feel real to you? Does it feel real that this is the last full day of the Trump presidency?
I mean, what are the odds that this time tomorrow Trump's gone? It just seems absolutely impossible.
I know.
I don't know. I mean, I know he's going to in my brain. I know it's true. But in my guts, I feel like this is going to be a persistent infection.
I certainly agree with you on that. You know, but there is, of course, because it's the last day, we keep hearing the talk of maybe 50 to 100 pardons. We're talking at around 4 in the afternoon. They haven't happened yet. Don't you think it will be a fitting farewell present from the president to you if he does it like 5 minutes before your show starts tonight?
I am not egotistical enough to think that I have a place in his mind, but he does do a lot of stuff at like 8:55.
Yeah.
And Eastern time, right before the show starts. And, you know, everybody that I know in the news business, everybody, people on in the conservative networks and liberal networks in between, straight journalists, reporters, everybody who has anything to do with covering politics has aged over these 4 years the way presidents age over 4 years. You know how Obama went in like a young man and came out like Methuselah? I mean, they all do. But it happened to the reporters this time. Everybody in the news business, we all have one major new physical thing wrong with us at least.
And the president looks exactly the same.
Yes, he absolutely does.
To be fair, for the last 30 years, he's looked the same. So I know you are someone who likes the ceremony of this office, things like the State of the Union. Yet we have an inauguration that, for a lot of reasons, both be it safety, COVID protocols, a lot of it's going to be virtual tomorrow. Do you think it will have the same effect that a powerful inauguration can have?
It's an interesting question. I've been thinking a lot about it because I'm going to be, you know, on air all day covering it, and I'm assuming that it's going to be fine, but it is going to be different. And part of what is meaningful about ceremonies like this and things like State of the Union and things like Election Night is that there is a sort of sameness or repetition or tradition for it. And even without all the craziness of like Trump leaving early and it has to be the usher who lets the Bidens in because the former first lady and former president will have gone by then. Even with all of the Trump craziness, just the COVID factor and the way they have to do it with so few people is going to make it seem not like other inaugurals. I think it will still feel like special and important and have a lot of gravitas, but the combination of the Trump weirdness and 20 plus thousand troops having to be there because of the transition of power was not peaceful this time and the COVID stuff, it is just going to be once in a lifetime. I feel both good and bad about that, I guess.
There is obviously a lot that the Biden-Harris administration is going to have to address right away. But I'm wondering what your thoughts are as far as how the events of January 6th are going to affect the way a President Biden governs, especially early on.
Well, I mean, we'll see. It's been a rollicking thing to see since January 6th that every day there are new and very serious charges being brought against people who were part of the attack on the Capitol, including, you know, conspiracy to commit an offense against the United States, which is the first time they're starting to bring charges like that in terms of there being an organized command and control effort to attack the government rather than just people being charged with trespassing or stolen property and stuff like that. So the charges have been really serious, but you know, we'll see what the Biden Justice Department does, for example, and what the Biden-led FBI does on those things. And it's just going to be, I mean, it's a shocking thing to have to deal with. But it also, like, how does it affect everything else he wants to do? I keep thinking, It's just kind of like if you just got a new job, you were just named bank manager. You're going to be running this branch or this bank and you're super excited and you've been building up to this for a long time and you're really qualified and everybody's psyched for you to take on this new job. And you show up for your first day as the new manager of the bank while the bank is being robbed. And it's like, well, the first thing I have to do as the new bank manager is tie up the perpetrators and call the police and make sure everybody gives their witness statements. I mean, Biden is taking over in the middle of this like incredible crime spree and that he has to deal with on top of everything else.
And then Biden has to, the kind of guy he is I feel like he then says like, and look, I'm not just the president for the bank and the people at the bank. I'm also the president for the robbers. Yes. I'm everybody's president.
That's right. We need to understand why they needed all of our money. Yeah, the empathy may be out of control.
I actually want to ask about that empathy in a second. We'll be right back with more from Rachel Maddow. We were talking about empathy, and I feel like one of President Biden's best qualities insofar as what attracted voters to him is that he's very conciliatory in nature, which I think a lot of people were looking for in this moment. I believe I'm an empathetic person. I don't know if I'm as conciliatory as President Biden. Do you think that's the right tone for this moment?
Well, it's better than the opposite. You know, I mean, if we had a president coming in right now who was bent on vengeance and, you know, hunting down those who disagreed with him and making sure they were run out of civilized life, like some presidents I know, I think that would be a bad thing for the country right now. I mean, Biden, the thing about Biden is that everybody knows who he is. He's been consistently that person and that type of politician his entire life. The country voted for someone who they knew. And part of what they know they're getting from him is somebody who does want to be a president for everybody, who isn't out to set people against each other and to make it the haves versus the have-nots and vengeance on my enemies. So, I mean, I feel like every president at the outset, Democrat, Republican, conservative, liberal, and everything, deserves sort of our best hopes and our support at the beginning. And I think a lot of my hope for Biden rests in that radical empathy. I mean, he is way more empathetic than I am, and I feel like I have things to learn from him on that front, and I hope it serves us well. But there is stuff from the Trump era that needs cleaning up, and I also hope he's going to be able to do that.
Look, I'm not saying that COVID was an easy problem for any president to deal with, right? A worldwide pandemic is going to test anyone. But it did seem like we were dealing with a lack of a plan, and now there is a plan in place. We don't know how successful it will be, but it doesn't seem that difficult, the steps that Biden is asking us all to take.
Yeah, like there's, you know, the very basic ABC public health approach to dealing with a respiratory transmissible, potentially fatal virus. Like it's not like they've invented new things to do. They're just starting to do the stuff that we should have done from the very beginning. Like there ought to be a national plan for tackling COVID. There ought to be a national vaccination plan. Trump never had one of those. There ought to be a contact tracing plan and support for implementing that. There ought to be support for schools who are having to change everything about the way they do in order to contend with this. I mean, all this basic stuff that should have been put in place a year ago, Biden is now putting in place for the first time a year late, because the only thing Trump ever did was a travel ban. And, you know, meanwhile, banning people from other countries didn't stop us from becoming the country with the largest death toll and the largest epidemic on earth. So, I mean, I do not envy Biden and Harris the job that they are inheriting. But I do think that one benefit that they have is that the guy who they're replacing didn't even do the easy stuff. And so they don't have to invent new complicated trickery in order to come up with what U.S. government policy ought to be. It's just the basics.
Obviously, a lot of very serious things happened during the Trump administration, things that, as you pointed out, it are going to take years to undo. With that said, do you have a favorite stupid scandal of the Trump administration that only brought you joy that you're going to miss?
Oh, like go back to the Trump scandal orphanage and choose one?
Yeah, you can bring one with you. Like, I would love if a President Biden also, like, used a Sharpie to adjust maps. I think that was a fun thing. I don't think enough presidents have done that, and I think that should be a thing presidents do from now on.
Do you remember Well, okay, it's a tie. First of all, Trump had the Interior Secretary guy who had a flag made for himself that every time he was in the Interior Secretary headquarters, a staffer would have to run up to the roof and fly his standard to alert the peasantry that the Interior Secretary was there. That was pretty good. But then there was also the EPA guy, I don't even remember his name, who built a super secure, get smart spy telephone booth in his office so we could have uber top secret EPA conversations with the White House. That was, and then he hired himself a 24/7 security guard, and things that turned up on the like reimbursement sheet were things like ballistic pants for his EPA security team that, you know, would keep him safe when he was going into the phone booth.
I feel like every cabinet member for the next, like, 3 months is going to keep reporting back, like, hey, do you know there's a solid gold microwave in my office?
That's right.
So that'll at least be something to look forward to. Have a great day tomorrow. I'm very happy you'll be covering it live throughout the day. The Rachel Maddow Show, weeknights at 9 on MSNBC.
Late Night with Seth Meyers airs weeknights on NBC at 12:35, 11:35 Central. Original music on the Late Night podcast is by the HE Band. Don't forget to follow the handle Late Night Seth on social media and tell your friends to subscribe to the Late Night podcast wherever they get their podcasts.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.